The Gospel reading from Luke. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
I want to try to speak this morning on the subject of resurrection. And at the outset, I quote a layman theologian named William Stringfellow, who in his work as a lawyer in the ghettos of New York wrote a great deal in the last century about the power of death and what all is necessary in order to confront it in the world. What Stringfellow said about resurrection may be new and surprising to you, but I hope that you'll listen to it and consider what it may mean for your life and the life of the church and our witness in the world. Resurrection, Stringfellow said, refers to the transcendence of the power of death and fear or thrall of the power of death, here and now, in this life, in this world. Resurrection thus has to do with life and indeed the fulfillment of life before death. Now let's think about the word before for a moment. It could mean one of two things, or perhaps both. It could mean before, as in that which precedes, and or it could also mean before, as in that which stands before and confronts. Let's think about it first in the former way. Resurrection has to do with life and the fulfillment of life preceding death. Now, I know that that is counterintuitive for a lot of us. We've been taught for many years to think of resurrection as what comes after death. But if that is all that it is, if resurrection is solely the teaching about what happens to a soul after it leaves the body, then the Marxist critique of Christianity, I think, has merit. It's a divinized way for the haves to appease the have-nots. A little talk about the glories of heaven in order to pacify a people in the agonies of earth. An opiate of the masses. Pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. But as Desmond Tutu used to say, a post-mortem pie just doesn't sound all that very appetizing. Resurrection is something more than what happens after death. Resurrection, in the true Christian sense, is also something that happens before death as well. Something that precedes death. Something that not only will be, but is. The United Church of Christ scholar Chris Smith was quoted in our meditation of preparation this morning. In a talk at Boston University, she asked, "Why do many Christian people continue to understand the possibility and power of resurrection as that which is utterly unavailable to them in their daily lives?" Resurrection power is not unavailable to us in our daily lives. It is not unavailable to us in the here and the now. Resurrection power, true Christ-empowered resurrection spirit, is meant to be present. It is meant to be active. It's meant to be empowering and engaged in the lived realities of God's children and God's world. So then, as Stringfellow said, resurrection stands before and confronts the power of death with all of the power of the fullness of life, always and forever. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? I'm glad you asked. I mean that there is a power that is available to us in Christ that can give us the courage to encounter and the enablement to transform the world in the here and now into the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It is the power of life over death, hope over despair, the meek over the abusive, the life-affirming over the soul-crushing. Resurrection power is available. It is active. It is at work in and for the world, at work in and for our families, in and for our neighborhoods, in and for our nations, at work in and through the church, this church. And it is the testimony of the church in its witness before all of the powers of death which are at work in the world. Powers like racism and sexism and homophobia and social and economic privation. Powers like lack of access to universal and affordable health care, education, and enfranchisement. These are the powers of death which work to slowly suffocate and kill a community. But the church bears witness to a power that is greater than all of these things. It is the power of Christ's resurrected presence among us, right here and right now. This is our testimony and witness as a church. Resurrection is not just something that we speak of that is to come. nor is it simply something that solely happened long ago. It is something that was in Christ and will be in Christ and is in Christ always. And it is something that is in us too, the church. It is our witness, the power of resurrection present and active, indicative, and very, very powerful in its testimony. As Clarence Jordan said, it is the compelling evidence of Christ having been raised from the grave, not a rolled away stone, but a carried away church. Not an opiate, not a pacifier. It is the power that is greater than all of the other powers in the universe, and it is in you and in me in Christ. Now, I don't want you to mishear me this morning. I am not saying there is no life after death. That is not what I believe or what I am saying, and I don't want to have to explain it at the next deacon's meeting. I may have some explaining to do, but it's not for lack of belief in the resurrection. I do believe in the resurrection, but I believe in it not only as a past and future event, but also as an event in the present. Always, always, always in the eternal present. And so did Jesus. Do you remember when Lazarus died and his sister Martha was so distraught what Jesus said to her? Your brother will rise again, he told her. Yes, I know, she said. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus then said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection. And that means that there is resurrection wherever it is that he is. Now and always, present and future, on this side of the Jordan, and also the next. Paul said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised, and we misrepresent God because we testify of God that he raised Christ. God raised Christ from the dead, and Paul says the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead also lives in you and me and the church, and it does. It does. I see the resurrecting spirit and power of God in you, church. I see it in the friend who was assaulted in a violent way, yet has found the courage to decide to go on living. I see it in another friend who, though fighting cancer, puts her wig on in the morning to go to work with courage and tenacity day by day and week by week. I see it in the sister who, like Martha, lost her brother, this one to AIDS, but who day by day and generation by generation, year by year, decade by decade, claims the power of resurrection in her insistence upon the love of God for all people in God's house. I see it. I see it here in a congregation that 10 years ago got kicked out of the convention, lost hundreds of members, and was written off to die, yet is still alive. And the lights are on too. And we have air conditioning, even in February. Thanks be to God. And I hear it in the story Stringfellow used to tell of a young Harlem social worker and Christian he knew named Lou Marsh, who died courageously intervening in the violence between two rival gangs. Lou Marsh, when he died, was ready, Stringfellow wrote. That is, he had already died in Christ and was without fear of death. That is the freedom the resurrection bestows upon men. Men and women and whosoever else may be in Christ also. For in Christ we have died, and in Christ we live. So then we are set free from the fear of death, and so whether we live or die, we know that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and that is everything. The same power that was in Christ and raised Christ is also in us. This is the resurrection power of God at work in the world. And it is available to us right here and right now, always and forever. And behold, it is with you always, even unto the very end of the age. I confess that I didn't want to be a pastor because I was afraid it would be so boring. I had it in my mind what Charles Dickens had in his mind when he said to the people in a meeting in his congregation, "Let's now all bow our heads and close our eyes and see if we can come into contact with the living." Y'all a little slow on the take. Let me tell you something. Quite honestly, that hasn't been my experience at all in the days of my pastoring. I've never been bored. I've been blessed instead to be a part of a church that is very much alive and living and courageous and full of resurrection power. Not the church of opiated masses, not the pacified and pacific church, but the church that is carried away. The church of resurrection. And the gates of hell have not been able to prevail against it. Nor has death been able to have the final word. For the final word is life. Life before death and in death, and life after death also. So, as Jesus said, "Blessed are those who weep now, for they shall laugh even in the face of death. And we who belong to Christ, even when we shut our eyes, shall keep on living and proclaiming resurrection, 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 until He comes again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said,